There are houses in your neighborhood right now that are just legally unsellable.
Oh, absolutely. Completely untouchable by a standard bank.
Right. Like, an otherwise perfectly fine home might just be sitting on the market, gathering dust, all because, I don't know, a previous owner finished a basement back in 1995 and just forgot to pull a city permit.
Or they just didn't want to pay the permit fee.
Exactly. But what if there was, like, a financial instrument that could legally erase that history? You know, bring the house up to code and fund a brand new kitchen at the exact same time.
That is exactly what we're getting into today.
Yeah, that is the mission of today's deep dive. We're looking at this really fascinating presentation by Jennifer Hill. She's a mortgage broker with American Liberty Mortgage based out of Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, the deck is called Renovation Loans 101.
Right, and it's essentially this blueprint for how you, whether you're a buyer or a real estate agent, can take a property that looks like a total liability and just, you know, finance its entire transformation right at the point of purchase.
The subtitle of her presentation really sets the operational framework for everything we're going to cover today. It literally reads, "Helping you see the potential, not the
I love
problems."
that. It's a total mindset shift.
It really is. It requires a fundamental shift in how you analyze real estate because, you know, instead of viewing a house as this static asset that you either just accept or reject based on how it looks today, you start evaluating it based on its future state.
We're looking at what it could be.
Exactly. You stop asking, well, what is this worth today? And you start asking, what financial tool do I actually need to bridge the gap between what this is right now and what it could become?
Okay, let's unpack this a bit because the sources outline a few, like, very specific market opportunities where these tools become necessary. What exactly makes a house a problem in the first place?
Well, there are a few classic scenarios. We're talking about things like estate sales, inherited homes with, you know, just decades of deferred
Oh, yeah,
maintenance.
the homes where nothing has been updated since the 70s.
Right. Or properties that fail appraisals outright just due to their condition. Or even homes that have just accumulated this massive stigma because they've been sitting on the market for way too long. People start thinking, what's wrong with it?
Right, it's like the last slice of pizza, they got a little burnt. Nobody wants it as is, but I mean, with a little work, it's still pizza.
That's a great way to put it. But the most interesting category she mentions is the one we opened with, which is the non-permitted remodels.
Yeah, the DIY disasters. But what about people who tried to fix it themselves and just completely messed up, like structurally?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the non-permitted remodel is literally a silent killer of real estate transactions. A buyer falls in love with a house, you know, they go under contract, and then the home inspector comes in and discovers that a load-bearing wall was just completely removed by some DIY
And
enthusiast.
they never filed any paperwork with the city.
Never. And the moment a traditional lender sees that, they just stop the underwriting process completely.
They just pull the plug.
Yeah, I mean, they will not secure a 30-year mortgage against an illegal or structurally questionable asset. The deal just collapses.
Wow. So how does the renovation loan actually fix that?
A renovation loan entirely neutralizes that threat because it actually allows the buyer to borrow the extra funds necessary to hire, you know, licensed contractors, pull those retroactive permits, and completely legitimize the property.
So it takes a dead end and turns it into this massive negotiation lever.
Exactly. It saves deals that would otherwise just totally die.
Okay, so let's break down the actual tools you pull out of the toolbox to make this happen, because we need to know how to actually pay for this. The presentation categorizes these loans by their backing agencies, and it starts with the Federal Housing Administration, or the FHA.
Right, the classic FHA loans.
Specifically, we're looking at the FHA 203K loans. And there's a hard baseline rule here, right? These are strictly for primary residences.
Correct. You cannot use these to fund a rental portfolio or flip a house. You have to live there.
Okay, got it. And what about the actual the down payments?
Well, they share specific loan-to-value or LTV requirements. To qualify, you generally need a purchase LTV of 96.5%.
Which means the buyer is only bringing like a 3.5% down payment. That is a highly leveraged position.
It is, yeah. And the presentation actually notes that this leverage can go even higher. The combined loan-to-value, or CLTV, can actually go all the way up to 110% if the buyer is utilizing down payment assistance program.
Wait, 110%? That combined loan-to-value metric is crucial to understand. I mean, a CLTV of 110% essentially means the bank is letting you borrow more money than the asset is currently worth on paper.
Right, exactly.
Which, to a traditional bank, loaning 110% of a home's value just sounds like a recipe for immediate negative equity. It sounds crazy.
It does sound crazy on the surface, but in the context of a renovation loan, the bank is, they're basically banking on the fact that the $50,000 you're injecting into a new kitchen and a new roof will ultimately force the property's appreciation well past that 110% mark.
Right, so that force appreciation is basically the entire engine driving these loans.
That's exactly it. Now, within this FHA 203K framework, there are basically two distinct paths you can take to get there. There's the limited loan, and there's the standard loan.
Okay, let's clarify the difference so everyone listening knows which tool to pull from the toolbox. Let's start with the limited.
So the limited loan is really built for like frictionless cosmetic upgrades. The minimum loan amount is $40,000, but there is a strict ceiling. The total rehabilitation cost cannot exceed $75,000.
Okay, so we're talking about paint, flooring, new appliances, maybe swapping out some countertops.
Right. You're updating the aesthetic.
But you're not like moving the plumbing or tearing down a wall.
No, absolutely not. The limited loan explicitly prohibits any structural repairs. And even though it's considered the lighter option, the lender still requires a pretty rigorous financial background check.
Like full tax returns and everything?
Full tax returns, comprehensive documentation. Yeah, it's mandatory. You still have to prove to the bank that you can carry the debt.
Right. But what if the house needs more than just a facelift? Like when a property requires serious intervention and you actually need to start moving load-bearing walls or, you know, dealing with foundation issues.
That's when the limited loan is no longer viable. You have to transition over to the FHA 203K standard loan.
And here's where it gets really interesting. Because the standard loan is where the mechanics just get wild.
They really do.
Looking at the slides, the minimum repair amount actually drops down to just $5,000. But the ceiling expands drastically to cover both structural and non-structural repairs.
Yeah, it's the heavy hitter of the group.
And there are two specific allowances that just completely jump off the page here. First, the FHA allows you to execute a complete teardown and rebuild of the home as long as the existing foundation remains intact.
I know, it sounds extreme, but that foundation roll is just a brilliant piece of real estate strategy.
How so?
Well, by keeping the original concrete slab or, you know, the foundation walls, the project is legally classified by the city as a remodel rather than new construction.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And in a lot of municipalities, this preserves the property's grandfathered zoning rights.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Because if you bulldoze a home built in like 1950 entirely, modern zoning laws might force you to build the new house further back from the property line, right? You'd lose valuable footprint.
Exactly. You'd lose square footage. Keeping the foundation circumvents that entirely while still allowing you to build what is virtually a brand new home right on top of it.
It is a massive loophole hiding in plain sight. I love that. Now, the second detail that really stood out to me from the standard loan is the mortgage reserve.
Oh, yeah. This is a big one.
The presentation states that if the property is completely uninhabitable during construction, you can actually finance up to 12 months of mortgage payments directly into the loan itself.
That's right.
Logically, though, I kind of want to push back on the risk profile of this. I mean, the bank is lending money for a house the buyer can't even live in, and the buyer isn't even making payments out of pocket for the first year. The lender is essentially funding a ghost town while waiting for contractors to finish the job. How does the FHA stomach that level of exposure?
It's a great question. And they mitigate that exposure through mandatory third-party oversight.
Okay, so someone is watching the money.
Oh, very closely. To use the standard loan, you are required by the FHA to hire an FHA consultant. This consultant is basically the bank's boots on the ground.
So what do they actually do?
Well, before a single hammer is swung, they conduct a full feasibility study, and they heavily scrutinize all the contractor's bids. But more importantly, they control the money through a process called draw requests.
Meaning the bank doesn't just hand the buyer or the contractor like a $100,000 check on closing day.
Never. Absolutely not. The funds are held in escrow.
Okay, that makes sense.
So when the contractor finishes, say, the framing, the FHA consultant actually physically goes to the property, verifies that the framing is up to code, and only then do they authorize a draw, which is a partial release of funds, to pay for that specific phase of work.
So the bank only pays for work that physically exists in the real world.
Exactly. This ensures the project doesn't just stall out halfway through with no money left.
Wow. Yeah, that structural discipline makes the 12-month payment financing much more palatable for the lender.
Yeah.
I get it now.
There is one quirky caveat noted on the standard loan, though, regarding swimming pools.
Oh, right. The pool rule.
Yeah. You are explicitly forbidden from using FHA funds to build a brand new pool.
No new pools. But what if it already has them?
That's the catch. If the distressed property comes with an existing pool that is, cracked or failing, you actually can use the loan to repair it.
That feels so arbitrary.
Yeah.
Why let you fix one but not build one?
Because the FHA's mandate is really just to ensure the availability of safe, sanitary primary housing. A working pool on a property that already has one maintains the home's baseline value. But excavating a backyard to build a new luxury amenity, that falls completely outside their risk mandate.
Right, that primary housing mandate is the perfect transition point, actually, because we've established that FHA loans are strictly off-limits for investors or people buying vacation properties.
Right. If you're trying to flip a house or buy a secondary cabin somewhere that needs a new roof, the FHA framework is totally useless to you.
So what do those people do? That gap in the market is filled by our next category, right? The FNMA Homestyle Renovation Loan.
Yes. FNMA, which is commonly known as Fannie Mae, designed the Homestyle loan specifically to introduce that flexibility.
So it's not just for primary residences.
Exactly. While you can use it for a primary residence, its major differentiator is that it allows financing for second homes and investment properties.
Okay, so investors, listen up. Minimum loan amount here mirrors the FHA limited, right? At $40,000.
Yes, it does.
But the math on how they calculate your maximum repair budget is a completely different mechanism.
It is, and it requires a bit of calculation. So the maximum repair amount is capped at 75% of the lesser of two numbers. It's either the purchase price plus the total renovation costs or the as-completed appraised value.
Wait, 75% of the as-completed value. And it changes for manufactured homes, right?
Right. If you're dealing with a manufactured home, that cap drops down to 50%.
Let's focus on that as-completed appraised value for a second, because it operates a lot like venture capital seed funding.
That's a really interesting way to look at it.
Right, because an appraiser isn't looking at the current revenue of the property, like the dilapidated house as it sits today. They are valuing the post-launch prototype.
Yes.
The bank is reviewing the blueprints and the contractor's strict business plan, and the appraiser generates a future valuation. The bank is essentially lending you 75% of what the house will be worth.
And that forward-looking appraisal is exactly what unlocks the capital for investors. It's
Yeah.
huge.
But it's like they traded superpowers, right? Because the FNMA Homestyle also trades certain capabilities with the FHA Standard Loan.
It does. The presentation clearly indicates that FNMA does not allow that complete tear down and rebuild strategy we just discussed. You cannot raise the house down to the foundation.
But they do allow you to do significant foundation work, which the FHA is really sensitive about.
Right.
And crucially, for investors looking to maximize resale value, the FNMA Homestyle actually permits you to build a brand new swimming pool.
Yes, you can build a pool with Fannie Mae, and the regulatory friction is also just significantly lower overall.
Let's talk about that friction, because we just discussed the rigid draw requests and the mandatory FHA consultant required for the standard loan. What does FNMA do?
Under FNMA Homestyle rules, you only need a consultant if the repairs exceed $75,000 or if they involve structural changes.
Wait, really? That is a massive operational advantage. If we connect this to the bigger picture, an investor buying a property to do a, say, $60,000 cosmetic flip installing, high-end floors, a luxury kitchen, maybe modernizing the bathrooms, they can finance it through FNMA and completely bypass the consultant requirement.
Completely bypass it, yeah.
That means no waiting for a third-party inspector to authorize draw requests. The timeline just compresses, the friction disappears, and the investor gets the property back on the market faster.
It accelerates the velocity of their capital. It's a game changer.
Okay, so we've covered the solutions for traditional primary buyers and private investors. But there's a massive blind spot here for veterans. Service members have access to unique financing structures, primarily the VA loan, which notoriously requires zero down payment. How do renovation mechanics integrate into that specific ecosystem?
The presentation addresses this through the VA renovation loan, and the integration is fascinating because it preserves the most powerful feature of the veteran benefit, which is the 100% purchase LTV.
Meaning zero down payment.
Exactly. Zero down payment is required to buy the house and fund the repairs. And unlike the FHA and FNMA options, there is no minimum repair amount required.
Oh, really? But there is a cap, right?
Yes, the maximum repair cost is firmly capped at $75,000. And maintaining the spirit of the VA benefit, it is strictly for primary residences only.
Okay, but I noticed a really strict limitation in the source notes, and I want to get some clarification. Wait, so I can't knock down walls with this one.
No, that is the very rigid parameter that sets it apart. The VA renovation loan explicitly forbids structural repairs. You cannot knock down load-bearing walls, you can't add square footage, or really alter the structural integrity of the home in any way.
So it's just for kitchens, bathrooms, flooring, and paint.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, that rigidity initially feels kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
If the VA is willing to finance 100% of the loan with zero down, you would think they'd want the veteran to maximize the value of the property,
Right.
right? Even if that means moving a wall to modernize a floor plan. Why does the VA draw such a hard line on structural changes?
Well, it really comes down to the VA's unique risk profile and their minimum property requirements, or MPRs.
Okay, what are those?
Traditional VA appraisers are incredibly strict. They demand a property be completely safe, sound, and sanitary on day one. Allowing a renovation loan bends that rule slightly, but prohibiting structural changes limits the VA's exposure to, catastrophic construction failures. Yeah, they do not want a veteran left with a half-collapsed home if a structural remodel goes sideways, especially when the VA has zero equity buffer since there was no down payment in the first place.
That makes perfect sense from a risk mitigation standpoint. They're protecting the veteran and themselves. But there is one major exception to this non-structural rule that the source highlights.
Yes, there's a very important exception. The VA will allow structural modifications if they are ADA and handicap accessibility related repairs.
Which is huge,
Yeah.
because the practical reality of retrofitting a home for accessibility is incredibly expensive.
Oh, absolutely. Widening hallways, installing roll-in showers, or building exterior structural ramps, that requires significant capital.
So by allowing veterans to roll these specific structural costs into a zero-down purchase mortgage, the VA provides this massive leverage to service members who might be returning with physical injuries.
Exactly. It ensures they aren't priced out of homes that could easily be adapted to their needs.
That's a really incredible benefit. Few other logistical notes on the VA loan, just to round it out. It shares the FHA's philosophy on pools. You can repair an existing one, but you cannot build a new one.
Right.
And crucially, unlike the FHA standard loan, you cannot finance any mortgage payments during the renovation period. The veteran is responsible for the mortgage from day one, whether the house is livable or not.
That's a really important distinction to keep in mind. However, a significant operational perk is that the VA does not require the use of a consultant, which really streamlines the timeline.
So what does this all mean? When we pull back and look at all three of these categories, the FHA, the FNMA Homestyle, and the VA renovation loan, why did Jennifer Hill put this presentation together for real estate professionals in the first place?
Well, a broader picture emerges when you look at it from the industry side. The ultimate value proposition of understanding these granular loan mechanics is inventory creation.
Right. Because in a market paralyzed by low supply, buyers and agents constantly hit a wall where there's just simply nothing available that meets the criteria.
Exactly. By mastering these financial instruments, an agent is essentially unlocking inventory that the rest of the market has just deemed untouchable.
You're looking at a functionally obsolete property and using a loan to create a move-in ready house out of thin air.
Out of thin air,
Huh.
it creates a complete psychological shift for the buyer and a massive branding opportunity for the agent.
The presentation maps out this domino effect clearly on its final slides. When a deal is about to die because a house fails an appraisal or a buyer gets spooked by an unpermitted addition, the average agent just delivers the bad news.
Right. But the agent who understands renovation loans delivers a solution.
You transition from being a tour guide to being a problem solver. Like when you sit down with a buyer and say, "Look, the bad news is the roof is failing and the kitchen is totally gutted, but the good news is we are going to use an FHA 203K to roll a $50,000 renovation directly into your 3.5% down mortgage, and you actually get to pick the exact countertops you want."
You completely neutralize their anxiety.
You give them control over the asset.
You do. And from a professional standpoint, sellers actively seek out the problem solver. This raises an important question, you know? Are you walking away from deals just because a house failed an appraisal, or are you utilizing these financing solutions to build buyer confidence?
When you build a reputation for moving difficult, stubborn properties, you just win more listings, which generates higher commissions. And as the slides helpfully point out, it makes your lending partners incredibly happy.
It strengthens the entire transaction ecosystem. Everybody wins.
We have unpacked a massive amount of leverage today. We started by redefining what makes a house a problem and explored how these loans can act as a shield against unpermitted DIY disasters.
We navigated the specific boundaries of the FHA 203K loans, dissecting the LTV leverage and the sheer power of that foundation teardown loophole.
We examined how the FNMA home style uses future state appraisals to give investors agility and bypass consultant friction. And we highlighted how the VA renovation loan bends its strict structural rules, specifically to ensure ADA accessibility for veterans with zero money down.
All of the data, the LTV requirements, and the strategic frameworks we discussed today were synthesized from Jennifer Hill's presentation. For those analyzing the market out in Denver or just looking to dig deeper into her methodology, her contact hub is listed in the source material at loans/sandspeakers.com.
As you close out this deep dive today and head into your next meeting or, you know, your next neighborhood walk, I want you to reconsider the concept of the unsellable house. Every neighborhood has that one property, you know, the one.
Oh, we all know the one.
The one that has been listed for 6 months. The one where rumors circulate about a botched plumbing job or some illegal addition from three owners ago.
A traditional buyer looks at that house and just sees a legal and financial liability, they run away.
But armed with the knowledge that a renovation loan can retroactively fund the permits, pay the licensed contractors, and satisfy the bank's strict risk profiles, all within a single monthly payment. Wait, I mean, all within a single monthly payment? That house is no longer a dead end.
It is simply an asset waiting for the right financial key.
Exactly. The next time you see a property sitting untouched while everything else around it sells, ask yourself, is the market rejecting the house, or is the market simply lacking the imagination to finance the solution? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep asking the difficult questions, keep analyzing the mechanisms behind the deals, and we will catch you on the next one.